if it takes you 17 hours from the time that an owner rings to say, hey, I want you to manage my property, by the time you go out there and you do the listing, get the paperwork signed, take the photos, put it on your rental list, that whole process. And if you can look at efficiencies to reduce that to 13 hours, then that's a major saving.
Welcome to the Real Estate Pros Podcast, the weekly show for real people in the business of residential sales and property management. Ready to talk insights and inspiration with today's guest, here's your host, Josh Cobb.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 47 of Real Estate Pros. I am your host, as always, Josh Cobb, and this is the weekly show for people in the business of residential sales and property management, where we interview real estate professionals and industry experts from all across Australia and around the world, getting to know them a little more personally and the stories behind their success to help you take your career to another level. And I'm excited about this week's show. I'm joined by our good friend Andrew Rees, a director at Inspect Real Estate. Most of you probably would have heard of Inspect Real Estate or are using it in your business, so you'll be familiar with Andrew and his team. But this week, we're going to talk about Andrew's background in the industry. He's going to share with us the systems he used at Pro Rentals, a property management company that he ran prior to starting Inspect Real Estate. It grew from 30 properties under management to 1,756. And we're going to talk about something you might not know about Andrew. He was part of the team responsible for bringing the RE/MAX franchise out to Australia. So we're going to talk a little bit about how that all came about. So there is a lot to get through in this episode of Real Estate Pros. You'll enjoy Andrew's passion for systems in a real estate business, his passion for real estate, and his passion for profitable real estate businesses. But before we catch up with our guest this week, I have something special I'd like to share with you.
Is your real estate agency wondering what to say or do on social media?
Do you have a suspicion that your business is underexposed online?
Join other leading real estate professionals from around Australia at the Social Media for Real Estate Agencies Masterclass Series 2015. Get actionable tips and strategies that you can apply in your business today to take your business to the next level.
Brought to you by Steps and Net 101.
The Social Media Masterclass Series is coming to Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane this October. Discover the best ways to market yourself and your business on Facebook, LinkedIn, Google, and your own website. You'll be led by two of Australia's leading digital marketing advisors, Tim Martin from Net 101 and Josh Cobb from Steps.
Learn how great real estate brands from around the world get noticed, liked, and shared online.
Register now for the Social Media for Real Estate Agencies Masterclass Series 2015 at steps.com.au/masterclass.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are just a few weeks away from the Social Media for Real Estate Agencies Masterclass Series for 2015. I am super excited to be joined by Tim Martin, the founder of Net 101. Tim is Australia's largest social media educator, so you're in for a real treat. We're going to be giving you actionable tips and strategies for taking your digital marketing to another level. We're going to be looking at everything from Facebook marketing, video marketing, how to improve your Google search ranking, and how to use your website as the central point of all of your marketing online, not only to get more email subscribers and build your social media following, but to how to get more leads into your sales and property management department, which is what we all want to do at the end of the day. So if you haven't registered yet, go and do that now at steps.com.au/masterclass. And if you're even if you're the property manager in the business, the receptionist, the principal, the salesperson, anyone in your business in charge of social media or digital marketing, you definitely don't want to miss this event. If you bring along someone else from the office, you will get a 30% discount off the cost of every ticket. So all the more reason to bring along one of your office friends with you. And we're going to be sharing with you examples of how other real estate brands are really doing amazing things in digital marketing and social media from not only here in Australia, but New Zealand, Canada, and the United States. So go ahead and register at steps.com.au/masterclass, and I look forward to seeing you there. And with that, let's transition over to this week's interview with Andrew Rees.
Well, I'm excited to introduce our guest today, Andrew Rees, the director at Inspect Real Estate, an online software business focused on assisting real estate agents with products including an online booking system for property management and sales,
key tracking system, and lead capture system. Before starting Inspect Real Estate, Andrew was the co-director of Pro Rentals, one of Australia's fastest growing property management companies, which closed its doors in 2011, allowing Andrew to focus solely on the growth of Inspect Real Estate. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Josh.
Well, for those who aren't familiar with who you are, tell us a little bit more about you personally and give us an overview of Inspect Real Estate.
I suppose I have been in the real estate industry since 1998. Originally kicked off that with 31 properties under management, and we grew that to 1,756. How I got into the industry was interesting. I used to be an accountant, and I would spend my Saturdays going around talking to different businesses of what was a successful business and what criteria should be developed on that. And I started doing a bit of work for a man by the name of Con Vanos, doing his monthly reports and accounts, who owned Aljoko Kuparu. And then he started using a guy by the name of Peter Hanscom to do monthly accounts. And in the preparation of those monthly accounts, I thought they were pretty cool. So I contacted Peter, went and met with him. I then worked with Peter in a business called Realty Business Consulting, which we did the accounts of about 25 different real estate offices across Brisbane. Mm-hmm. We then actively worked in bringing the RE/MAX franchise to Australia, which I was involved in that up until we had 8 offices opened. From that point, I thought, all right, rather than telling people how to do it, that I'd have an opportunity to start it myself. So we kicked off ProRentals with my best mate, James Chalmers from Cairns. During that growth pattern, we then had to work out how to do things. And that's how I got into software, because property management's a big canary. Lots of things happen over and over again. It takes 17 hours to put on one new management. And if you're putting on 428 new managements in a year, then if you can reduce that process down to 13 hours, you are going to save substantial time for the organization. So that's sort of how I got into software, mainly because my brother-in-law had built a Access database footy tipping competition, which I, for Boeing, where he's working, I saw that and I thought, gee, can you sort out my keys? And so he sorted out our keys, and then I said, oh, well, if you've done that, can you track the growth of our rent roll? Can you track all our leads? Can you track our tenants? And then when I turned 40, I wanted to have an easier life. So what happened was I thought, oh, I think I could probably have this sort of software, the ideology behind the software, and sell it to a couple of mates that I had across the industry. So the goal there of Inspect Real Estate was to have 200 clients that paid us $400 a month, and I wanted to work from my garage, was the plan. Inspect Real Estate, where it stands at the moment, I think it's about 960 real estate offices across Australia and New Zealand that use it.
Wow.
Primarily, we're most known for our first and major product, which is the handling of all tenancy inquiry from the time they make that initial inquiry off the portals or phone you or walk in, right through to helping that person book an inspection, as well as then recording the results of the inspection, letting the owner know what's happened, tracking the applications through that sort of leasing phase of the business.
Mm. Well, it's a very, very interesting background. It's not everyone, you know, could say that they've been responsible for bringing a franchise out to the country as well. Tell us a little bit about that. And Peter Hanscom, by the way, it's Peter Hanscom at Bell. He's a Bell property now, correct?
Yes.
So a lot of people may not know that. Tell us a little bit about what that was like, bringing the RE/MAX franchise out to Australia.
Ah, yeah, it was a very exciting time. When I first met Peter, I think I would have been 24, and was in his lounge room at Stanmere Street in Carindale. And he said his goal was to bring RE/MAX to Australia. And I thought, wow, that's really cool. It's a nice big goal. Mm. So, it was a lot of work in the early days of putting together what will be the structure, what will be the way that how you set up. What my role was is that in those first 8 offices we opened up, I would go there and spend a day a week and do everything from the business budgets to the sorting, the ordering their photocopiers to their computers or the whole system. When the RE/MAX franchise was brought to Australia, Peter went to the different regions around the world and looked at the different ways that RE/MAX had evolved, and then we had to sit down and work out how do you put the whole thing together. And that was mainly it's 100% concept and you have the salesperson receiving 100% of the commission, but how are the numbers and all the structure behind all that? And I really enjoyed that because, you know, you by doing all the business planning and setting targets for the offices and then make sure they all work, it was a very exciting time. And also I got to go over to Denver and to lots of Remax offices. So it gave me an amazing insight into how the industry works.
Because they're one of the dominant players in the US market, aren't they?
That's true.
Well, tell us a little bit about the software side of things. So when you were working and having known you for quite some time, we probably should disclose that, and how, you know, the growth of Pro Rentals back in, what was it, the early 90s to the... or mid-90s to the late 90s?
Yeah, well, Pro Rentals kicked off late 1998 and then closed its doors basically the sort of day that the Brisbane flooded, so which was in 2011, was just about when we got to the end of the business.
Okay.
So,
it was in mid to late 2000s?
Yes, that's okay. Correct. It was... the selling of the business basically took, you know, nearly a year from the time that you decide to do it. So there's sort of, you know, a major wind down as you've got a business of that size and going through that sort of process. But the bulk of the growth, it was a really slow start, mainly because I hadn't done property management before. And as we were kicking along, I did my projections and thought, yeah, we're going to grow at 20 a month. You know, it's going to be no problems at all. We kicked off, I think our first month we put on one, then our next month might have been three, and then two, and I think we then had a duck. And I was starting to really hit the panic button because I'd never done it before. We just had our second child. So I was probably like everybody, underfunded. So I thought, I'll get myself a credit card and help me fund myself. But you could see the asset was growing and therefore you were increasing capital value. But that one credit card got full. So I then went out and got a second credit card and that one got full and a third credit card. And it's quite interesting when you are really up against it, how you look at your processes and your systems and stay focused to what the goal is. The goal of Pro Rentals was to get to 10,000 properties under management and to float. So it was a long way between 31 and 10,000. An interesting thing is that in the early days, I have a very good friend, Scott Amos, and he's an accountant, and we looked at raising money to buy what at that time was Aljaka Tuong, which was the biggest rent roll in Queensland. Mm-hmm. So we put together a group of accountants and a cash flow projection, and so what I was going to do was fund the purchase of the 1,000 properties. Anyway, my dad said to me, "That's a good plan you've got there. However, if you're going to open up a pizza shop, you won't know how to cook the pizzas." And so his theory behind that was that if you go and learn from the start, then if the chef doesn't turn up, I can then go back and cook the pizzas. So yeah, the first few years was learning how to cook pizzas and you had no idea how the pizzas were cooked. And it took that time to learn what temperatures the oven needs to be, you know, what pizza bases you need to use, what would sell better and all that sort of stuff. So that was the real hard yards.
It's a grand analogy. Yep. Well, before we have a look at some of the success moments and what you would call your failures in the industry, I'm sure we've all got them. Before we get into that sort of things, tell us a little bit about why property management. Why did you decide, with a background in accounting, what was the appeal about this industry?
What happened was that... James and I were writing letters to each other. So at high school, we'd formed a handshake that we're going to go into business together. And we started writing letters, okay? And we developed the criteria of what we regarded to be a successful business. Number one, it needed to be commission-driven because I was an accountant at the stage and I could only earn the amount of hours that I worked. Number two is we had to be able to build an asset, okay, that was then readily saleable. We looked for something that was done poorly in the industry. It needed to be consumed like a necessity, okay? And we also wanted to be able to borrow against this asset. So we were running around looking for a business that fit that criteria. And James's computing background, I had my accounting background, so we thought about starting a computing accounting business. We thought about opening up an ice cream shop. We were very close to doing that. And then I rang him and said, "Holy cow, it is under my nose. It is property management." I didn't realize being an accountant for the real estate industry, it's just something that was there. And when you look at the criteria, yes, you build an asset. Yes, it's commission driven. It's a necessity. It gets consumed along the way. You can borrow against it. And so it happened, even though it was there and I was in the industry, I didn't realize it fit the criteria of what was the ideal or perfect business.
Mm-hmm. in hindsight, maybe the ice cream business might have been a decent idea at the time.
Yeah, well, there's lots of ice cream businesses around now. So it's a possibility, yes, that it could have been completely different ice creams. Yeah, yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, a quote that I've heard Jason Rose from Rental Express say a few times. And hello to Jason if he's listening. He says a lot of the time, you know, what is your blockage to success? I love that quote, especially in property management. It's, you know, every day we're met with, you know, if we're met with a blockage in the business, we build a system for it or a process, and it no longer becomes a blockage from then on. And you meet a lot of property management businesses at Inspect Real Estate. Tell me about some of the blockages that you see in real estate businesses today that are really slowing businesses down.
I think the number one thing is to be really, really clear on your goal. You know, if you look at what our first goal was, to get to 10,000, but we then broke that down, and being really, really clear on your goal. So the first goal, I suppose, of programs was to get to 100, and then from 100 it was 500, then 1,000. So going in and out of businesses, are they really committed to that goal? Mm. Do they know what it is? Is it written up on the wall? Are all the decisions made around that goal? One great thing that helped along that process was we regarded ourselves, even though we're self-employed, that we actually worked for ProRentals, okay? ProRentals is owned by a business called Reach Corporation, and we used to talk about that having a separate little folder that lived in the cupboard, and that was the entity that we then worked for. And that was a real moment in time for me that changed, because what happened up until then, if someone smashed a ProRentals car, that actually smashed my car, okay? Mm-hmm. But when I realized, and James really highlighted that and pointed it out to me, it's not yours, it's the business's. Mm-hmm. And then the decisions you make then aren't based on what's good for you, it's what's good for the business, right? And that really changed a lot of the way that we did it. So in other words, what's the best thing for the business? If the goal is to get to 1,000, then all the decisions are based around that, i.e. you buy a photocopier when you're at 200 managements that will handle 1,000 properties under management. Mm. You go out and you deploy the team, you get the staff, you get the keyboard that will then handle 1,000 managements. And you then make that decision, that's very obvious, and that all decisions are then based around that goal. So where does that lack in the offices I go in and out of? Ask them what the goal is. They probably don't really know. And the person to ask is the property manager sitting there, right? Mm. Or the receptionist. Has that been shared? Is that the culture? Is all the decisions of the organization being made around that? Now, the goal may be to make as much money as they possibly can out of the 280 properties or the 400 properties they're looking after. That can be a perfectly good goal as well. But I think that helps them then make all the decisions.
Mm. Mm. I think something that happens a lot in the property management space is the property managers, I mean, it would be naive to think it's not a transient industry. There is a lot of people that change positions very frequently. And that's not only here in Australia, I'm sure that's happening in New Zealand, definitely happens in the US. And a lot of the time you talk to these property managers and they talk about, look, we need these tools, we use this system at another office and the principal's not prepared to invest and buy it, you know, all that sort of thing. Does that, What sort of impact do you think it has on the staff and the culture when the business owner isn't investing in their teams, you know, the tools they need to do their job?
Yeah, it's substantial. It affects everything, I suppose. And it comes down to, again, what is the goal? And is that goal shared? If the goal is to make as much money as they possibly can out of their property management business. But I think it still comes down to looking at efficiencies. I mentioned before, if it takes you 17 hours from the time that an owner rings to say, hey, I want you to manage my property, by the time you go out there and you do the listing, get the paperwork signed, take the photos, put it on your rental list, that whole process. And if you can look at efficiencies to reduce that to 13 hours, then that's a major saving. The transient of the industry, my feeling of that is that there is a defined timeline for how long you'll have a property manager for. Mm. And very much, again, at ProRentals, we could see at the start of the year, we'd shake everyone's hand and say, do you have a commitment to stay here for the next 12 months? Mm-hmm. And we'd then base around, we could, you know, find out from people how they were. Now, it was quite funny when they were getting to the end of starting to leave, they'd stop wearing their ties. It was certain signs creep in. So what you need then is a constant period of recruitment and understanding that if you're going to have another 400 managements come in the door next year, or who are going to be the three new property managers you need to put on, and you start planning for that.
Something that not a lot of people might know about your leadership style, a lot of the businesses, well, both ProRentals and here at Inspect Real Estate, you breed this culture of people wanting to run their own businesses, and you encourage that, and you know, the way you structured ProRentals and now Inspect Real Estate sort of allows that entrepreneurial thinking and people to run their own. But can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, from a parent's perspective, you understand the ideology that came from it. When I was working for Peter McGrath, I got paid a set wage, and so the amount of tax returns I would churn out and do made no difference, right? Okay, so there was no incentive, even though I worked really, really, really hard because I wanted the knowledge, okay? Yeah. Then I suppose my time that I was with Remax and Remax of Australia is that I wanted equity, okay? That was a driver for me. You get the knowledge, but I wanted to build an asset. And then when I got to ProRentals, we started and we put on our first property manager like the rest of the industry, and we tried to poke as many properties down her throat because that's what the industry did, so you could make the most amount of money out of her. I was driving home thinking this is never going to work, you know, that I had one of our good owners at Dengate Lane ring us up and come out and have a look at this property that your so-called property manager has done the vacate inspection on. And it was, you know, they hadn't gone to the property. So I needed a way to have an owner's interests aligned with a property manager's interests, and that came up with paying them a percentage of the management fees.
The property manager, the percentage?
Yes, yeah. That's correct. So what that means is that that they receive 30% of the management fees on their portfolio. So there's a cutoff level, and if everyone goes to www.inspectrealestate.com.au/calculator, we have got on there all the different calculators that you can go on and play around with, based upon putting in a percentage of what your average management fee is, what currently your average rent is, and then what percentage you may be able to pay your team with what may be a the base required in from a legislative viewpoint to pay your team. So what that meant was is that they determined the number of properties that they would look after. They completely cared about vacancy. They cared about if tenants are paying rent. They cared about putting the right person in protection of the asset, all that sort of stuff. The next elevation with Inspect Real Estate, same basis. I was at a conference, you know, you and I've been to a few conferences, and a person came up to me and filled out a request to do a demo. And they said to me, this is the third year in a row that I've filled this form out. Are you going to contact us, right? But you got to remember the ethos or goal of that business was to have 200 clients, right? So we really went and sourced the 200 market leaders. So when he told me that, I thought, oh gosh, that's not very good. And so we needed a way to get our product to market. Majority of the people in our organization in Inspect Real Estate are real estate agents. That's where they've come from, or been from. Our first client is one of our distributors. And what a distributor does is they receive 100% of the income for the first 6 months, and then they'll receive a 30% trial. So they're completely responsible for looking after their accounts. It's the same ethos of what is behind ProRentals. So they care if the client's not happy. They there's a lot of work in that initial time to put up a new client, and that's why it's rewarded as that. They determine the number they want to look after. And all of a sudden, you're dealing with people who have a business mentality rather than an employee one. And being as it's sort of now my fourth business, I decided that I have a bit of fun with this one and, you know, try not to get too weirded out by what's going on. So, but that ethos, again, to bring it back to Remax is, that's what I learned, really. If you look at touring over there and how they were business people and the thought process behind that. And, we're having our own internal conference coming up on the 29th of October. So we meet for sort of 2 days, and it's completely different because you've got these business people talking about how they improve their businesses with each other, but it's really under the one banner of Inspect Real Estate.
Well, what's the? I think it's a Richard Branson saying, you know, give them everything they need to leave you, but treat them well enough so that they don't. And how many staff from ProRentals now that run their own business as a result of working at ProRentals?
Seven, I think. Seven. Yeah, there's seven. Yeah, including a guy over in New Zealand has started his own franchise, Hamish.
Wow.
And there's some. Milton is over in the UK. He runs his own business. There's and that is, I suppose, when ProRentals closed its door, a lot of the what was behind it got lost, I suppose, or shut. But it now lives on with the team, and the things that they've gone to start their own business is just fantastic. And I really have enjoyed watching them progress along. And now they've got the opportunity to build their own asset as well. And what my in the recruitment process of bringing someone into ProRentals, I'd point out to them, come work for us for 4 years. It was like going to university. I'll give you as much knowledge as in my head to help you to open up your own real estate business in the future. And complete sharing, and then you will learn a lot from them as well.
Well, I think it's a huge trust building. Once you've lost respect for a leader, it's game over. And I think that unfortunately that happens a lot in the industry where the business owner is. Whether they're a selling principal and they just that property management department's that thing in the corner that don't come and tell me unless there's a real issue, and that happens a lot in the industry. So to have seven staff members now running their own business is quite an admirable thing to have. What advice would you give to principals thinking, look, if I do all that for them, they're going to leave me?
Oh, they will leave you, and you just accept it. Right. And so it was funny, I suppose, at the end of ProRentals, I left them, you know. the reality of it is that, yeah, there's a defined time frame. And I have reflection of my own career was that I looked at why that happened, right? It's why did I leave those particular opportunities? And so you just accept that. And to me, it's very important the relationship that you have with everybody. So again, in the sale of the business, a lot of people might try and keep that a secret. Where we met with our key team members every Tuesday, one of them at a time. And it takes a long time to meet each week. And the reason why we did that was to let them know what we were doing. We wanted their support, to thank them for what was going on. And we also didn't want the whole office to be all told at once and then just this king bomb goes off. But I made a commitment to each of them. If they help me through that process, then I'll help them to their next venture.
Yeah.
And even at the end, we were running little workshops in the business of how to start your own business and all that sort of stuff.
That's so great.
Yeah, it's embrace it. Don't just know it's a fact.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. Well, Andrew, I want to turn the spotlight onto moments of your career that have made you who you are today, and you've shared a lot of that with us already. But we often hear the 20,000-foot view of someone's success in real estate. But here on the Real Estate Pros podcast, we want to take it down to that ground level of actual moments in time, whether you felt like you've either failed or succeeded in your career. So with that in mind, can you tell us a story, a specific story, take us there with you, of a moment in your journey of where you felt like you'd failed? Tell us what happened and how it made you feel.
Oh, well, again, the goal to put on 10,000 managements, okay? So even though you could say we got to 1,756, well, I think we failed, because we only did 17% of the goal. Okay. So along that path, when we were in the numbers of 200 odd, I can still remember I had done three listing presentations on this Monday night, okay? Because in the early days, you do everything, cook the pizzas, right? Everything, okay? Yeah. And so I'm driving back home. It was funny, I still remember Bamal was the owner who rang, a property in Dovercourt in Toowong. And he said, oh, you know, it's a referral was the call. And he said, I'd like to see you. And I said, well, I've got a 6 o'clock, an 8:30. I can probably get to your house at 11:30 tonight. And I sort of said it as a bit of a joke, right? But he said, okay. And I went out to his house and did that listening presentation, the third one of the night at some crazy hour. So then I'm driving home, okay, and I thought, I can never, ever, ever put on these number of properties required, okay? Even if I was putting on 100 a month myself, okay, then that's 1,200 a year. I'm going to be a really old man before we get this business off the ground. So the focus penny dropped as well. Hang on, if you put 10 people on and they put 10 on each, then that will be 100, okay? So everything switched from me running around trying to make the pizzas to investing in the team, finding the right people, getting the systems and structure in place. But you got to remember, all those 10 people, yeah, you're going to have the old 80-20 rule. Is you're going to have, eight of them on fire, one not, and one really, you know, in intensive care. And so you just accept those numbers. So you'll have some people putting on 12 or 13. But that was the penny drop for me was, all right, now it's about getting the team to produce the results, okay? And inspectors followed the exact same path, right? So, you know, one client, 1 month, then two, three, a couple of ducks. The difference there is that the software habit was burning a 40 grand pocket. as we were, because software is expensive. You have to pay for it up front before you can sell a copy of it.
Yeah.
So, I still remember my sister ringing me, and as I was churning through the sale proceeds of ProRentals, going like, what are you doing? And I just said to her, I know what I'm doing. Once we get it up and going, it'll be fine. And so same thing there is now is that we've got 12 distributors. Okay. Mm-hmm. I can put on 10 clients a month. Now, if I've got 12 who can put on 10 each, that's 120. Mm-hmm. And the next thing is to then work with their systems and processes, which is this internal conference we're having, to how do they get up to 20 a month now? Mm-hmm. Okay. Because that's 240 we can then put on a month. And that's how you just break it down. And that moment of time of change was realizing I just can't do it all myself.
What I find interesting is a lot of people at that juncture would say, look, this isn't for me. You know, time to go and do something else. You know, I'll go back to my degree in accounting or whatever it might be. Was there ever a moment in those very early stages where you were going through that mindset of, you know, I'm never going to get to 10,000 if this is the nature of the beast? Was it at any stage, did you think?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Time to give this thing up?
Yeah, a big thing, Groundhog Day, is that I'd drive home late at night and I'd think, all right, if I had this day again, what would have I done differently? And that's a great reflection every day. And even to the extent I thought, well, hang on, I went and bought my sandwiches. So if I brought frozen sandwiches to work and defrosted them, I could swallow them whole at my desk and that would save me another 5 minutes, right? This is dead serious, right? So
time management.
Yes, correct. Yeah. Because what can I squeeze into my day?
Yeah.
My theory is I'm so disconnected from the world. I'm not on Facebook or, even check. My theory is if it's important, someone will tell me. And it's true. This week I've found out that we had a change in Prime Minister. I had no idea that happened. Okay, so what was your question again?
It was at any stage in those very early stages did you say, look, it's maybe this isn't for me, it's time, but can you take us there with you? What was that night or day like when you thought, you know, maybe this thing isn't for me, it's time to go back to accounting or something like that?
Yeah, it wasn't that time to go back to accounting. What really happened was we got to about 1,500 and I regarded that we lost sight of the goal, okay? And in other words, 10,000 was never going to be achieved. Well, it could have, but we just had to do different things, okay? Even if we run around putting on 100 a month, it wasn't going to get us there, okay? Mm-hmm. So it was an interesting time of the business for James and I because we lost the goal, and I regard very much like a plane, how we were flying, we started just flying around circles, okay? We couldn't agree on decisions. So one of the things was, did we just get to 2,000 and make it a highly profitable business? And we worked out that that's not in our blood, right? We are, in other words, all of a sudden I start buying cheap toilet paper, right? And and running around turning off the lights rather than this ethos of growth, 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 growth. So, and I suppose I did start to look at what other things should you do, and that's where Inspect Real Estate started to creep into my mind and thinking that was the opportunity. But there wouldn't have been nothing wrong of getting to 2,000, which was a goal that James and I discussed at length, and then selling the portfolios to our team. And I went and investigated that with Macquarie Bank and using vendor finance so they could buy their portfolios off us while they're still paying us off. We would receive a percentage of their growth. Okay, so if a property manager ran around and all of a sudden put on heaps of properties at 30%, how wonderful would the whole thing be if they were getting a half of the asset that they were growing, and that whole ethos changed.
Well, a lot of people back in those times, everyone would be familiar with Rental Express and their, you know, their growth, their massive growth. So, in those early stages, some people may not know, but you guys were very, very competitive.
Absolutely.
Against each other. Can you give us a little insight into what that was like? And what that was like back in the day.
Our competition is just fantastic, right? And the reason being is that you just get cracking, right? Yeah. And I still remember, and also it's personal, things like that. So James came up with the concept is that we were property management specialists. Anyway, a couple of weeks later, Rental Express, they could probably say they did it first, but they wrote on their little logo that they were the original property management specialists. So, of course, small little things, but we took that as a, but what was really interesting that as the end of Perennials, I got to know them really, really well, and now, of course, they're our lead clients. But we thought they were copying us, but they weren't. The reality of it was we faced the same problems, okay? And when we faced the same problems, we then arrived at very similar solutions because that was the logical solution. So in other words, they had a key tracking system as well, okay? Chris Rolls' idea was the book inspection button, okay? We'd been building all this software that had all this tracking of everything, but I didn't have that initial capture interface of that book inspection. And when I saw that, I was like, holy cow, that's smart. And that then, so again, competition, innovation, really did spur us on to achieve great things. But also, I think you should never be concerned of sharing back and forth with the industry because we really tried to do that, and Rental Express are fantastic at that as well. And the reason being is that if someone gets one of your ideas, takes it to the next level, that helps you then take it back to the other one. But the real point to stress is it's hard yakka to grow your business. Most people are just focused on managing and doing what they've got going on at the moment.
Well, that's an interesting point. There's a couple of the conferences that I've heard either Jason or Chris speak at and or yourself, and a lot of people, I've sort of heard people say, look, I can't relate to that. You know, these guys are at 1,000 properties under management or 4,000 properties under management, I think, in Rental Express are now. And the thing is, what the challenges they're having in their business right now are the same challenges that the people like Rental Express and the people like Pro Rentals had back in the very early days. Right. It's just how you attacked those problems. So I think by saying we can't relate to them, you can't relate to them now, but you know, the challenge, you should go and certainly seek out these people and learn. Obviously, at a point in time, you know, the challenges you're facing, they faced at one stage. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That one of the particular presentations, I asked anyone to stand up that had more than 1,756 properties. Nobody did. And what I said, well, whatever number you're at, I've also managed the same. Okay. And that was my point of them understanding that, that every day, same thing. You know, there is the arrears, there is policing of what properties you've got vacant, it's the same stuff, right? And it's a system and processes that you put in place that time efficiency, then coming back to that again, is that if you can reduce something that took you 4 hours to do and you can do it in two, you are more efficient. And that's what it came down to. An example there is that we had a rental payment schedule at Pro Rentals, okay? So we would provide the tenant when they moved in all the days the rent was due. We made an Excel spreadsheet. And this is a great way between how James and I operated, is that was a tenant and I had the landlord knock on my door and say, hey, you... didn't pay your rent. And I said, no, I paid it last week. He said, no, you didn't. It's like environmental bins every 2 weeks, right? So what we do with the rental payment schedule is that we put in the start and end dates of the lease and it produces all the days that the rent is due.
Yep.
In the tenancy sign up, okay, which was just critical, that's something that should take 2 hours. And I'm a bit crazy on that, but you explain to the tenant that these are the days the rent is due. If you are not going to pay it on that day, you ring me, okay? You switch your ears around rather than... Oh, I'm ringing you because you didn't pay it yesterday. You educate the tenant. These are the days due. If you're not going to pay it, let us know. And so that's looking at how you can manage and reduce your arrears issue. That just as processes and systems they could put in place each particular point. One of the things, we had a vacate envelope at the front counter. And the reason why is because as keys would be returned by vacating tenants, they'd get lost, So we came up with an envelope that got sat on the counter and then the tenant then filled out the information on there so that wasn't the receptionist wasting time to type up which property you're at, where you're moving to now. We had that all in an envelope, which the tenant filled out, shoved the remote and the keys in there, and we had date and time stamped when they returned. Just every process, look at how can you make it better.
Which is so normal now in any real estate business, but you look back at the early 2000s and that's revolutionary, right? It was still, I remember the tenancy agreements back in the early 2000s, I think it might have even been a double-sided A5 piece of paper.
Yes.
Now it's about 14,000 pages long, isn't it, combined with the entry condition report. So
yes.
It's interesting how things have changed so quickly. But we'll take it to the other end of the spectrum. Can you tell us a story that sticks out in your mind of a moment where you felt like the formula you had in place at Pro Rentals or Inspect Real Estate was the right formula to grow a business? And again, take us there with you. Was there a moment or a milestone that you reached where you thought, we've really figured this thing out?
Yeah, the percentage payment system was unique, right? So Reg A, who was a prospective tenant who walked in the office looking for a property to rent, we gave him a job and he was with us for nearly 10 years. And he also worked at Algebra Cooperoo. Algebra Cooperoo has had this amazing little speckle of my career and just keeps coming back to that sort of point. But anyway, he walked in and we gave him a job. And so he was doing all of our leasing, okay? Because the first weekend we turned up, people handed out keys. And I'm like, what? you know, we can't do this. You know, what happens if they get them cut? Okay, I can't handle that. And so we then put on a leasing person to go around and let properties. Also, we realised leasing is connected to growth. But with Reggae, we then promoted him to a property manager and put him on this weird percentage system, okay? And he was very, very sceptical about it because, you know, is this going to work or not? And I said to him, all right, let's have a handshake. I reckon you'll earn 40 grand in the first year. And at the time, I think he was earning like 20-odd, right? And 40 grand under the system because I think it will really help you. Let's have a bet of a carton of Crown Lagers, okay? Now, when things are financially tight, okay, it was one thing I always did was still drink my Crownies, right? However, what was interesting is he walked into my office at the end of April, shook my hand and gave me that carton of Crown Lagers. So he basically achieved his goal of 40 grand earnings 2 months early, right? And so that really, yes, it really stood out as, oh my gosh, this thing is working, okay? And so that was a real moment in time. And then it's like, all right, let's duplicate that. For Inspect, I suppose one of our team members, Leo, who recently phoned me to say he is now earning more under the Inspect Real Estate umbrella than he's ever earned his entire life.
Wow.
And that was a pretty cool phone call for him to ring and say that. He didn't need to. And again, that sort of says, oh, and because with that comes also the opportunity for them to buy property. That we had a major push at ProRentals to assist our team to invest in properties, which they, a lot of them still own now. Because you're in the industry, you're seeing all these opportunities, but somehow you don't invest in that, you know. And Dr. Fred was the one who alluded to that to a course I went to, and he said that if you're a farmer, you should eat the best cherries, right? Not send them to market. Or if you're a farmer and you've got the best cow, that's what the farmer will eat. And so we had some opportunities where we could see certain properties that would rent for a lot, and that's what our focus was, is how could we get the rent up. So when our team went to look at a property for a purchase, is how could you add value and how could we increase the rent? And if you can get the rent up high to cover the repayments, then you can own as many positive gear properties as you can. So that was another fantastic legacy of having the team invest in the industry / buy properties.
Well, I think you cross a very a big line in the sand when you go from paying them a wage to changing their life. I mean, it speaks volumes about, you know, the business that you've built. How important is that to you?
It's funny how you mention a leader. I don't regard myself as being a leader in any way, shape, or form. I've got the focus of, I suppose, what the goal is, and this is the natural way to go. And you just try to encourage other people to want to come on that path, I suppose, right? So it sort of happens by accident. A big thing, when, and you know, this can be taken wrong when I say it, is I will tell people I don't care. Right. And but if you, supposedly my team says that's wrong, that statement, because I do deeply, deeply care, but I don't care about, in other words, if you use an example, if a property manager wanted to discount the fee to a certain level, okay, I don't care. The reason why is it actually affects them substantially as well, right? And so I do care. So I'll encourage them to understand that. But if they want to reduce the fee, then it's their pocket.
Well, I remember, I mean, I remember, I can't remember who told me the story. They were sitting next to Wayne Bennett on a plane, on flying somewhere around Australia. And he asked Wayne Bennett, look, when a player doesn't perform, how does that make you feel? And he said, look, it used to affect me. It used to get to me a lot, but now I don't care. They're letting themselves down.
That's right.
Yep. So look, yeah, I think it's certainly, it's a mindset that is shared by a few very, very important people. We'll take us to today. What are you guys working on in Inspect Real Estate that's getting you excited?
We've got some micers in New Zealand at the moment. So we've just done some integration with realestate.co.nz to enable the book inspection button to be placed on their listings.
Yep.
And we're doing the same with realestate.com.au. So we're in Melbourne this week. That's sort of due late October. So that provides a magnificent opportunity for us as a business, but also the whole process will work so much better for property seekers. You know, to me, it is absolutely crazy that a real estate agent picks a time to randomly go to a property and stand there and pray that people are going to turn up, right? Okay. The ability to have a confirmation that someone is going to that inspection and to let them know that the inspection is not going to occur. You know, I'm going to have lunch tomorrow with Chris Rolls, and the Bavarian Beer Cafe has already sent me an SMS to confirm that I'm coming. Now, it really doesn't matter if I don't go there, because it's not as though they've had to pick up eight of the staff and take them out to another spot. They're there and they'll just fill the table within a second. It is stupid that a property manager drives all the way to a property and stands there without having any confirmation. So the booking part of the industry is really the future because it's such an amazing time saver, right? Then they've got the back end of the scheduling. If you and I are going to meet today, throw up all your times that you're available online and then have the tenant then select a time that the software calculates the distance between all the properties that suits you and that tenant is just magnificent time saving. So that interface will work so much better on realestate.com.au because the process just has a much better flow. So then we're always bubbling away on working on some stuff. And, I have something in my pocket that is very much exciting me. But Mike has told me that I'm not allowed to tell anybody.
A lot of people, you talk about Mike, and Mike is very much, a little bit behind the scenes. We see him come out at a conference and that sort of thing. Who's Mike? Can you tell people who Mike is?
Yeah, well, first of all, I went to high school with him. Okay, so a lot of the people that are involved in my life are very long term.
Yeah.
So yeah, he was a grade above me, and so I knew him then. And then he started dating when he went to university. Tracy is my wife, sister Karen. So we then became related, right? and he worked with Boeing for a long time. And he's not a trained coder. He's an electrical engineer who worked on the Wedgetail project of the Security of Australia.
Wow.
So he's a very high-level guy. He's just had this annoying brother-in-law that keeps asking him to fix things for him. And if I could give anyone a tip, if you're really serious about your business, one of the people you should hire is a full-time IT person. Really, it made such a difference to our organization. They can do in a day and can save days and days and truckloads, you know. So if you're really serious about your business and you want to go forward, I think we should have put an IT person second, right? But then again, we started the business, there was really, you know, there was no realestate.com.au. So, you know, we were still handing out rentals out the front. So he's had an amazing impact and purely, I suppose, he's now been coding for the real estate industry for what it was really now 14 years. And he's assisted 8 million tenants.
Wow.
If you look at the time saving that he's had right across Australia in the industry, all from his house at Kenmore, right?
Fascinating.
It's groovy when you look at it from that perspective.
Cool. Well, g'day to Mike wherever he is. Well, look, Andrew, thanks so much for your input. So far, we're about to hit the fast five, where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. But before we do, we're going to hear our fast fact of the week.
This week's fast fact comes from our consumer research survey conducted recently, where we asked people who have bought or rented a property in the past 2 years how they searched for their new home. 94% said they started their search on either of our two major portals, so realestate.com.au or domain.com.au. 84% said they never visited a real estate agency's website at any stage during their search for a new home. Let me say that again. 84% of renters and buyers never visit a real estate agent's website during their search for a new home. So if 8 in 10 people aren't looking at your site to find a property to buy or rent, is your website built to attract the right audience, or are you simply using it to promote your listings? Advanced Google Analytics data from our clients here at Steps shows that a real estate website built with homeowners and landlords front of mind can attract 6 times more traffic, and optimized correctly, this means your website can potentially generate 6 times more inquiries, 6 times more leads, and 6 times more revenue. So how is your website structured? Is it attracting homeowners and landlords, or tenants and buyers? I'm keen to hear what's working for you. Drop me a line via our website, Facebook, or Twitter.
Well, Andrew, we've reached one of my favourite parts of the show, where I'll ask you 5 quick questions and get you to come back with 5 quick answers. Are you ready?
Yes, on one condition.
Go ahead.
That I can ask you the same 5 questions in reverse.
Well, I didn't expect that, but let's give it a shot. Name one person who has been an inspiration to you throughout your career and why.
Brad Jackson. mainly because of his openness, his sharing. He's still a huge impact both within the RE/MAX days, mm-hmm. okay, then through to Pro Rentals and now at Inspector Real Estate. He is a rock of knowledge, inspiration. He has no problems at all picking up the phone and smacking me as well, which is good. So,
what is your favourite thing in the world to do when you're not at the office?
Well, you do know that I'm a crazy, crazy Queenslander, right?
So,
but this year I haven't had much time to watch much of the footy.
Yep.
But also spending real time with the interests that my children have. So at the moment my son has a very strong fishing habit and my daughter baking. So just to be a part of that.
Fantastic. What is your favourite business book that you've ever read and why?
Well, I haven't read very many books, right? But I did listen to the audio of Steve Jobs and that is just outstanding. Yeah. It is incredible.
Fantastic. What is your favourite technology resource that you use daily to help run a better business?
Microsoft 365, okay. Like at 9 o'clock in the morning, we all log in. It is just absolutely brilliant. We record all of our training sessions, uplift it, so we have access to all the team, can look at our meetings. It's brilliant. It is brilliant.
Andrew, it's often said that the success of a real estate business is measured by how many properties they sell or how many properties they manage. If you had to choose one thing that prevents people in real estate from achieving success, what would it be and what would your advice be to overcome it?
Basically, a really simple thing, it's doing it. Now, what I mean by that is that, yeah, I went to conferences and heard Chris Rolls talk about how they'd used SEO to really improve their website. So I went away and then did it, right? Mm. He sold the same thing to the same 200 people in the room doing it, right? They write down the same stuff, but are they doing it? Now, how you do it is we had a change in the law at Pro Rentals and we're sitting in meetings and we're all talking, should do this, should do this. And then we'd all go away back to our desks and we'd just get involved and wouldn't finish what we needed to do. So we came up with these concepts called do meetings. Mm. So we would go into the office and we would do it for that hour. Do that improvement of that checklist. Now, we call the same thing in Inspect. They're called working bees. Mm-hmm. And at our little meeting place, we get the whiteboard out and we write out what we're going to do and we spend the day working on what so we need to do to achieve that task or target.
Mm-hmm. Andrew, I have one last question for you to leave our listeners with some motivation for the week ahead. What's your favourite success quote and how do you think people in real estate can relate to it?
Well, I can tell you where I learnt it, and that was from Don Marion, and it was STP. Which is see the people. As I now travel with that theory all over Australia and New Zealand, going to places to meet people because it's much better face-to-face. After you've met them that first time, you can then do everything else later by phone and all the rest. Mm. So at Pro Rentals, when the phone rang and said, hey, I'm interested in using your services, it's first thing was, when can we meet?
Mm.
And that was an amazing lesson to learn and still vital, which I believe totally is why both businesses are going along, or went okay in this one, is the STP theory.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Well, this is only the second of 46 episodes of the podcast that we're doing face-to-face, where usually it's just over Skype and we see each other face-to-face, but this is the first time, or the second out of 46 episodes, so it might, I think it's a habit we might have to.
Well, I told you when I said we have to do it face-to-face, right? And you're like, oh, we can do it. No.
Technology is a wonderful thing, but I think this is a habit I might continue with. Well, listeners, you can find all of the resources that Andrew has shared with us today, along with all of the show notes, by visiting our website at steps.com.au/podcast. Well, Andrew, on behalf of our listeners, I'd like to thank you for your time, knowledge and advice today. I know that people are going to resonate with the content you've shared. How can people get in touch with you or find out more about Inspect Real Estate?
Yeah, just very simple, andrew@inspectrealestate.com.au, or my mobile number is 0438 445 671. That number again is 0438 445 671. Said that a few times. Now, you didn't answer those questions, Josh.
Well, I'm happy to go back if you want to. If we're going to do something a little bit different this week, Andrew, I'm happy to. So, look, you're always up for a little bit of fun. Have we got time?
Yeah, absolutely.
You fire away.
Okay. So, who is the been the most influential person in your career and why?
I would have to say my lovely wife, who we're expecting our first child in December, and I can't say I'm not excited about that. I'm super excited about that in December, becoming a father for the first time, having a little boy. So certainly my wife is a nurse, as yours is in the medical industry as well, Andrew. So I think there's something about nurses and doctors and that sort of thing that are sort of the yin to your yang, so to speak. So she is my calming influence. So definitely my wife.
So the second question then is, what do you like to do when you're out of the office?
I am a little bit of a fan of rugby league, as you know, so I enjoy watching the Broncos, especially this year. They're doing very well, so I'm a big rugby league fan, and if I'm not doing that, I haven't been able to do it as much lately, but I am a fan of the sport of triathlon as well. I do race a little bit of triathlon when I can, but at the moment, not so much with a business that's going very well.
And your favourite book and why?
My favourite business book that I've ever read, it was one I read about 18 months ago, a book called Utility, spelled Y-O-U-tility, by a gentleman by the name of Jay Bayer. And Jay's it's a New York Times bestselling book, just changed my life. It was, you know, the subtitle of that book is Why Smart Marketing is About Help, Not Hype. And I think a lot of what we do in real estate is very much about hype. So it was a complete mindset shift and changed my life. I'm happy to say Jay's a good friend now, and it's changed my life, not only in business but personally as well.
I've been at conferences where you hand that out and endorse that book strongly. So I do the same with Steve Jobs' book. So the piece of technology that you use every day?
My favourite piece of technology would have to be, if I had to pick one, look, I would say WordPress. We build websites for clients using the WordPress platform, and it is the most flexible piece of software. For developing websites and apps, and building scaling businesses very quickly from a marketing perspective, there is nothing quite like it in the web development space. So I would have to say WordPress.
Excellent. And blockages to success?
If I had to say one thing that prevents people in real estate from achieving success, is knowing their marketing numbers as much as their sales ratios. A lot of people talk about conversions from cold prospects to listing appraisals to on the market and then to sold. But I think a lot of real estate people a lot of agents don't focus on their marketing numbers as well. So whether that's if I'm going to send out this many letterbox drops, or if I'm going to do a Facebook post, or if I'm going to do a blog article, is how many people are reading it or looking at it? What's the conversion from that? And how can I improve that? Because a lot of people will say, look, I've done 1,000 letterbox drops, I received 3 inquiries about it, but nothing gets really, nothing changes the next time they do it. And I think people need to focus more on their marketing numbers as much as their sales ratios.
So how do they keep their marketing numbers? What would you recommend there?
Look, very simple. There's only one of 3 objectives that you need to pick whenever you're doing any marketing. And I always say this with our team, is it's either brand awareness. So if what you're doing is for brand awareness, put everything you're doing behind that objective. And the metrics that you would measure for that is eyeballs. So how many people have seen it? Mm-hmm. So if brand awareness is your objective, that's the number one metric. Keep it really simple. If it's a Facebook post, how many people have seen it? Mm-hmm. If it's letterbox drops, how many people have you got that to? So that's from a brand awareness perspective, that's a very simple metric to measure. From leads, generating leads is the second objective, and how we know that is inquiry. Mm-hmm. Whether that's phone calls or people that have filled in a form on the website, or have opted into an offer that you've got on social media or something like that, and your objective there is inquiries. And number 3 is customer loyalty.
Okay.
So customer loyalty, the very simple metric there is something that Rental Express use very well. I know you guys have, is the NPS system. And people who aren't familiar with that is NPS is obviously on a scale of 1 to 10, how likely are you to refer us to your family and friends? And over time, it's quite interesting to watch your revenue and your profit and your NPS scores are very much aligned wherever they are on the. So they're the 3 objectives: is number 1, brand awareness; number 2, generating leads; or number 3, customer loyalty. And whatever you're doing from a marketing perspective, pick one, because if you try and do all 3, you're going to achieve nothing. So that would be my advice.
Yep. And I suppose you can assist people with this process?
Absolutely. absolutely.
Look, there you go, an ad in reverse.
Look, absolutely. No, look, it's it's certainly something that I think is changing in the industry. A lot of people are starting to get tired of minimal results when it comes to marketing, and a lot of what we do is all driven by data. It's not driven by anecdotal sort of thoughts or gut feelings. It's all driven by numbers. And I think in marketing, you have to do that. That's absolutely the key.
All right,
cool.
Well, just to finish off, is that well done, Josh, on this program, mainly because you are sharing and improving the industry as a whole. So
that's very kind of you, Andrew. I appreciate it. And it's always fun. I'm sure we'll catch up in a Qantas Club or a conference somewhere soon.
Okay.
And for everyone listening, Andrew, I'm very jealous of Andrew. For those of you who are a big fan of The Bachelor, Andrew sent me a photo this morning of him sitting at the Qantas Club in Melbourne with the Bachelor Sam. I think we're recording this on the 17th of October. September. So we never know who's gonna get that rose tonight. Who do you think?
Shanaz. I can never say that right. And everyone asked, did I ask him? Did I ask him? He said no, because he wasn't going to tell me. But we knew, I think, that he wasn't flying, because obviously tonight they can probably go out in public together now. Mm. And he was not flying to Melbourne. He was in Melbourne. So I went home and said, I think Sarah's going, because she was in the Mornington Peninsula. And isn't it strange that we know all
that's happened? Sarah, for an interview about real estate into The Bachelor. So that's a first, listeners. We haven't done this before. Look, Andrew, thank you so much. It's been a real honour, and I hope a lot of people are going to really listen to what you have to say. So I think you're a big inspiration. So thank you.
Thanks, Josh. All the best for the future.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you do enjoy the Real Estate Pros podcast, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. And whether you did or you didn't enjoy the show, we'd love to hear from you about how we can improve, or any guests that you'd like to see join us on the show. So you can do that at steps.com.au/podcasts. Until next time, I'm Josh Cobb. I hope you have a great week ahead, and I look forward to having you join us again next week. Bye for now.